Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Boomer and Geo,
BT and Sal,
Evan and Tiki,
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
I am back. It's Pete Hoffman with you for another episode of WFAN Daily. That is correct. You can always follow me at HoffWFAN. And let's start with the New York Yankees as they have a wonderful final win. Finale win before the trade deadline. Actually, no, that's not true because there's a game tomorrow on Thursday. But Wednesday night, a good victory as Ryan McMahon has a walk-off single, which one doesn't make a difference. If it's a single, double, home run, it doesn't make a difference. The Yankees win the freaking game. And it could have been, it was a close game. This game, as always, has the Yankees continue to play miserable baseball. So the fact that they won this game is a shocker itself. But my God, how many more Volpe errors are we going to see? And what's going on with Austin Wells and the base running? I've seen a lot of stupid plays in my day. But at this point in time, the Yankees find new ways to continue to run themselves out of ballgames. And it's a good victory. The fact that they came back and won was amazing. You know, again, Bellinger, big hit late in the game. You have Volpe with a great home run, which was much needed. But at this point in time, I asked this at HoffWFAN on my X account. And this is a serious question. What is more likely for Anthony Volpe to finish with? More home runs or more errors at this point in time? Because it's neck and neck. Every day he's making another error, and then he hits a home run. So I guess that's like a little tit for tat. You know, you can live with the errors if he's getting home runs, but not really. And I got to be honest with you. They're major leaguers, so I'm not impressed anymore with guys who could just get double-digit home runs. I say that a lot now, but I feel like I'm on repeat, but I'm being serious. If you can hit 15, 20 home runs, that's the normal. That's the norm. It's not like back in the day where some guys would go through a season and hit maybe two or three home runs in a season. Yeah, like that's over. You should be hitting 10-plus home runs if you're in major leagues. Like you're playing 162, especially if you're posting as much as Anthony Volpe is, you should be hitting double-digit home runs. So the fact that he's got 15 or 16 home runs now on the season, that doesn't do anything for me. That's like, yeah, you could hit home runs. We've seen you could hit 20 home runs in a season. That you've done that before. Remember when Gleyber Torres hit 38 home runs in a season? Everyone's like, oh, my God, we got our guy. And then he couldn't repeat that again. He couldn't do that again. And everyone was all pissed off that Gleyber Torres, you know, lied to the world. He hit 38 home runs in a season. couldn't do it again, though. What's up with that? Well, Anthony Volpe is good for one thing. He'll get you 15 home runs, close to it. But he'll also finish the season with an OPS close to 666, and he'll finish with an average of close to 200. And those two things are not good enough when you make as many errors as Anthony Volpe does. Now, listen, whatever the case is, they're going to keep on running him out for whatever reason. Here's why you can't if you're the Yankees. If you are being serious, which they are, they're being serious. They want to get to the playoffs, and they want to win the World Series. That's the goal every single year. That's what they put. You know, the price of admission is what it is, because this team is going to go and try to win a World Series. You can't run out those young kids anymore. It is time. You got less than 24 hours. Whenever you listen to this podcast, whether it's Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, 6 p.m. Thursday, that is the trade deadline. End of story. Nothing else. There's no more waiver claim trades or anything like that. No, it's done. 6 p.m. on Thursday, you make all the moves and it's over. The Yankees need to add not just a bat, but a positional offensive piece that plays the field, and you don't have to torture yourself through bad defensive plays, either at shortstop or at left field. End of story. And it's very simple. I think I said the other day, Cody Bellinger is your everyday center fielder or right fielder until Judge comes back, whether he's DH, whatever the case is. But the left field spot cannot be Dominguez anymore, and the shortstop cannot be. You can't run both of those guys out there. It's just irresponsible. If you want to win a World Series, if you want to be a playoff contender, it's irresponsible to run those two guys out there on a regular basis. They're not ready yet. End the story. And that's okay. No one's telling anybody that Jason Dominguez has to be ready right now. That no one says that Anthony Volpe has to be ready right now in order to be successful. That's not true. But if you want to win this year, the best bet is to have those two guys not being in starting lineup anymore. It's just the case. And there are pieces out there. I don't know how much it's going to cost, but the Yankees are consistently turning their prospects that never turn out to be anything into veterans that help win and get to the playoffs. Do they help win the World Series? That hasn't happened in a long time. But the point is they can find a way to turn around some of these prospects and bring in someone like a Stephen Kwan in the outfield. They're not going to go for a Luis Robert, who's out there right now in discussion. But there are plenty of other offensive pieces. And again, I go back to Colorado, get Mickey Moniak. Guy's not making anything at all. He's 27 years old. He reminds me of Andrew Benintendi. You bring him in, you play him in the outfield. He can play anywhere, basically, left field, right field. He's a serviceable outfielder. You don't need him at center field. Go get Mickey Moniak. Guy is everything that you want and more in the outfield. He legitimately is putting up offensive numbers that they would love Jason Dominguez to put up, and he's fine in the outfield. Maybe he's not as gold glove as a Cody Bellinger or Trent Grisham, but he can actually catch the ball in the outfield. He can play the outfield and be serviceable and not, you know, be caught with his pants down on a regular basis. So that's someone that I think he'd be relatively cheap because, again, Colorado is looking to get anybody at this point in time. Give us prospects. Give us whatever. We don't know. We don't care. And Mickey Moniak is I think he's a free agent after this year, if I'm correct. He's making peanuts too, which is great for the Yankees. Just go get him. And there's other teams like that, like right now, that you can go and find. The Pirates are starting to trade their guys. Cabrian Hayes just got moved to the Reds. The Orioles are selling. I don't know if you're going to be able to make a trade with the Orioles. Again, it's tougher in the division. Like, you know, the Orioles and the Rays are both just give it away. Littell just pitched for the Rays, and he just got moved to the Reds right after the game was over. So there's guys in your division that are trading already. But again, can the Yankees trade with them? may be tougher, but go to Miami. Go to the teams that you've had success with. There are a ton of options out there that are better than, especially if you want to have a better defensively sound team. And that's been the biggest issue. That's been the biggest bugaboo with the Yankees all season long, dating back to the World Series. Hello. Now, they did make a move. And this is a little embarrassing right here. Okay, because I don't want to compare it all, but it reminds me a little bit of the Yankee move that they made earlier on Wednesday. It brings back memories, fond memories. Maybe not fond memories, but memories of the New York Mets making a move for a guy named Darren Ruff and Daniel Vogelback and me wanting to put my head through a wall because they brought these two guys in thinking that they could split time as a DH. They'd platoon. This guy's good against lefties. This guy's good against righties. It's perfect. Well, Austin Slater, who the Yankees just picked up from the White Sox, has an OPS of like 859 or something like that against left-handed pitchers. That's all great. That's amazing. He is insignificant to this team. He is not going to be a piece that is going to help them make playoff pushes. He's going to turn into the Darren Ruff and the Daniel Vogelbacks of the world. And we're going to sit there and scratch our head and say, why was this the move that the Yankees made? Ryan McMahon makes a little bit more sense. Don't get me wrong. It's still not this power move. It's still not this ballsy, gutsy move that the Yankees fans are dying for. It's a good move because there's zero chant, like there was nobody on the Yankees staff at third base that can out-defend Ryan McMahon at third base. Like Ryan McMahon's a great defensive third baseman, no doubt about it. And then offensively, even though like he's still struggling a little bit, but he did have a walk-off on Wednesday night. He's had some big hits already. There's a couple doubles already for the Yankees. So he actually makes contact more than some other players have for the Yankees. Maybe it's a change of scenery too. Maybe it'll help him get a little bit better. Because you got to remember, the guy was a 240, 250 batting average guy. His OPS was a little bit better than normally has been the past year or so. But last year, after the trade deadline, his numbers just completely dipped. He was terrible. And this year, he came in 16 home runs, but bat 217. He just was not the player that people were talking about last year at the trade deadline. And maybe that's because of his lack of happiness and joy playing in Colorado. I mean, it's great scenery. It's beautiful out there. I've never been to Red Rocks, but I heard it's amazing.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
After a while, though, playing on a dismal Colorado team, I'm sure he got a little fatigued and wasn't giving his all. Now he's playing for the Pinstripes. He puts it on and he gets a game winner. How about that? Again, it's good. It's a good start for the Yankees, but these need to be bigger. This is not big enough yet for the Yankees. If they want to be contenders, if they want to be true contenders for the World Series, again, you have to think about, and we'll talk about the Mets in a second, but I said the same thing with the Mets on the Rico Bronin podcast right now with Evan Roberts not too long ago. I just said, you have to start thinking about playoffs at this point in time. That's why you're buying. You're buying to build the playoff roster. Yes, things can happen in the next 2 months. You never know who gets called up. You never know who gets hurt. But the goal is that these players that you're adding to your team, they're most likely going to be on the playoff roster. Like Marcus Stroman, he's on the Yankees right now. Is he going to see real innings for the Yankees in the playoffs? Probably not. But he's on the team right now. Will Warren, who we saw have another good game, and again, Will Warren has this weird thing. Like he's like every other game he plays well. He can get you, you know, sometimes deep into a game. So he can strike out a decent amount of players. Today was one of his better games. Wednesday night was one of his better games. Toe-to-toe with Littell. you know, and it was a good outing for him. Unfortunately, he couldn't get the win because the Yankees couldn't score up until the later on in the game, and then a nice little comeback. But that being said, though, think about this team. Think about the Yankees right now as a whole. Who is going to get real innings? Who's going to be playing and pitching in big spots? And who's going to be, you know, pinch hitter off the bench? Is Austin Slater really going to be getting big opportunities in the playoffs? If he does, that's kind of scary. Let's move to the Mets real quick as they made two splashes. Now, first of all, the Tyler Rogers, I'm not going to sit there and deny I was very butthurt. It's not even that Drew Gilbert, I know how great he is. I've heard a lot about him. The talk has been a little bit more about Drew Gilbert, high-profile player because of where he came from, the fact that he got traded for Verlander, involved in that deal. That's why I think Drew Gilbert, to me, was more of like a name. And again, you did follow him a little bit closer than some others. He wasn't all that great, but again, someone that you followed a little bit closer than others in the minors. When you trade away Jose Buto, which is fine, and you trade Blade Tidwell, which is fine because you saw Blade Tidwell, and then you add on another player, and it's Gilbert, Drew Gilbert. It's one of those things where it's like we are trading for a rental 34-year-old reliever, and I understand how good Tyler Rogers is. I understand how quirky he is. He's got the sidearm. He's got all that good stuff. I get it. But you can't tell me that the first initial thought is, why did we give up so much for a relief pitcher? What is wrong with us? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And Tyler Rogers may not be a household name, but he's been around for a while. He is very good. I'm not taking anything away. However, though, when last year you built all this draft capital, prospect capital, and you have all these pieces, and we're talking about Mauricio's maybe being dealt, and you're talking about whether it's Gilbert, Jet Williams, whoever it is that may be getting dealt at some point in time, and you land a Tyler Rogers and one of those names, two of those names actually, because Blade Tidwell was someone we've talked about, and like I said, we saw. They get thrown into this deal, it's almost like, wait a second. Doesn't feel right. Now, to add the torture to it was Jahan Duran from the Twins, who is a lights-out closer. You know, Rogers is a relief pitcher. He comes in certain spots. He gets holds. Doesn't really get saves. He's a holds guy. That's fine. You know, keeps the game intact, keeps the game moving for the next guy, puts it up in the line for the next guy. Duran is a closer, and he's badass. Now, we've seen Mick Appel pitch this year. He had some good moments. He's had some really bad moments, too. So I know that he was the number six prospect, I think it was, for the Phillies. But when you see Duran get traded to the Phillies, that to me is just like, oh, my God, that is the guy I want. Like, that was the reliever that the Mets needed. And again, you saw the guys that were in there in the trade, the number four prospect, number six prospect in the Phillies organization. I believe that's who it was, or at least now they're number four and six in the Minnesota organization. Regardless, those two getting traded, it's almost like I didn't think that the Mets couldn't compete with that. Like, why wouldn't I think that they could? Like, you know, that would have been the move to make. Now, on the other hand, not too long after that, you see that Ryan Helsley gets traded to the Mets and the world changes. And you start popping the champagne. You go, hold on a second. We got Edwin Diaz. We got Tyler Rogers. We got Helsley. This is a whole different bullpen now. This is something we can work with. You know, and what's next, though? Because there's always a what's next. This is not a championship level situation here for the Mets, in my opinion. You know, you look at the fact that you did add two amazing relievers, but they're still looking at this team. I see a lot of issues. I see a lot of holes. One being the pitching, because in order to get to those three guys that we just mentioned, the Helsleys, the Rogers, and Diaz, you got to get to the sixth, seventh inning, right? like with a lead. Our pitchers go five innings deep. So there's still that sixth inning that, I mean, I guess you could run out Reed Garrett. I guess you could run out Soto. I guess you could run out one of these other relievers that you have and cross your fingers that it works out. Or how about you get a starting pitcher who goes six, seven innings deep so that you don't have to run those other guys out every day. You have them every other day type of thing. And you just have a healthier pitching staff. I don't understand it. It's confusing to me how people don't see that the Mets need a starting pitcher. You got about three guys that are between, and I did this with Evan. And we can you go listen to the Rico Bronya podcast that we just did, episode 522. Just did this with Evan. Between Manaea, between Peterson and Senga, those three pitchers are between, like, you know, the second in a row. If you had to go one through five in a rotation, they're sitting at about a two, maybe three. So none of them are a top end starter. And then the rest of the pitching staff are all fives. They're all back end of the rotation. That's Clay Holmes included in there as well. You got everybody else is a back end of the rotation guy. That's not good enough. It may be good enough to get you, you know, throughout a season and finish a season, but is that good enough to get you into the playoffs? Is that good enough to set a rotation of, you know, if you have to go three or four men, well, you have to go three men deep. If you have to go four men deep, who's the fourth guy? I don't want any of those. I don't want Montas pitching real innings. I don't want Clay Holmes pitching real starting innings. I don't want that. And I definitely don't want to see a Tyler McGill, a Paul Blackburn, or any of those other schmoes get in there as a starting pitching spot. I don't want to do it. I'd almost prefer an opener, which I don't want either. That's why it's important for a starting pitcher, because all the flaws that you see with this Mets offense, all the flaws, you bring in a stud, an ace, or a top-level pitcher who can minimize damage, all it does take is one of those Pete Alonso home runs, Soto home runs, you know, Francisco Lindor, Brandon Nimmo home runs. All it takes is one, right? You look at the Yankees' MO, that's kind of how it is. It's an all or nothing thing. It's all or nothing approach. We're not sitting there, three-run home runs win ball games. Of course, Sweeney Murdy with the quote of century. I appreciate that. But a lot of it is just based off of solo home runs. And in order to be effective with a solo home run, it has to be a tight game. It needs to be 0-0. It's got to be 1-1, 2-2, that type of thing. And I think with better starting pitching, Mets can do that. And now also, can they use another bat? Of course. Whether it's DH, whether it's center field, I keep on hearing Luis Robert Jr. I don't want him. I really don't. The metrics, people tell me analytically, he's going to be fine. He's going to be this, that, the other thing. Again, if he comes here, I don't know if it's going to make a difference, if it's going to change his mentality. And that's the thing, right? He's in Chicago. I mean, you look at Andrew Vaughn, right? And I've talked about this Michael Fliegelman earlier, if everyone knows Michael Fliegelman from The Fan. But Andrew Vaughn, I think in his last – I forgot how many games he played so far with the Brewers. It's a very small sample size. But he basically has hit the same amount of home runs with the Brewers as he did with the White Sox, same amount of RBIs. He's got, like, you know, his batting average is up by like 150 points. His OPS is up by like 150. Like, everything is absurd. Like, all his numbers are through the roof. And he's barely played for the Brewers. Is it a different environment that's caused him to play better? Is it just beginner's luck? Who knows? If that's what you're banking on with Luis Robert Jr., is that the fact that he comes out there and is a new man in a new location and he feels comfortable, he feels better, that he's out of that hellhole with Chicago? Okay. I don't bank on that. I don't. If I had a choice, obviously Stephen Kwan, I think, would be the better of the two because I've heard his name being thrown around. But I am a Brent Rooker. I want more pop. I want more power. Brent Rooker's a guy that I would totally buy into. And there's not a lot of huge offensive bats out there that right now are being, you know, talked about because, again, those certain bats are like, you know, first baseman, maybe DHs, maybe some outfielders. But again, it's nothing to write home about. I talked about Mickey Moniak for the Yankees. Why not for the Mets too? Hey, why not? But again, there's less than 24 hours, especially after this podcast. It's going to be way less than that if you listen to this. So there are still moves to be made. At the end of the day, both the Yankees and the Mets have to go and make at least one or two more moves to put themselves in better contention, because there's a lot of teams that are vying for playoff spots right now, and you cannot mess around. Yankees MO, like I said, they have to go and move on from Dominguez and Volpe for this year. Mets, they need a starting pitcher. Have to. And unrelated to Mets or Yankees, but Dodgers may need some help too now, because their Shohei Ohtani unicorn got pulled from a game again when he was pitching. So, you know, this MVP in 2025, who never really can do what he's supposed to do, he's hurt again, unfortunately. And I don't know how hurt he is. And again, we definitely don't like injuries. We don't praise injuries or anything like that. But he's been taken out of his start. And I don't know how hurt he is. I haven't seen any more details. But you talk about the Dodgers, who are loaded everywhere. I mean, they're going to be loaded no matter what. Even if Ohtani goes down, they're going to be fine, because they have so many different like levels of pitchers and offensive players. I know Shohei Ohtani offensively is special, but they have other special guys too. Plus, they're always looking to make a move and make a splash somewhere else. So don't be surprised if the Dodgers make another move for a big time player, whether it's an arm. Or whether it's a bet, because that's what they do. All right. Thank you again for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily with Pete Hoffman. Always go find me at Hoff WFAN on any social media platform. Download, like, subscribe, WFAN Daily, wherever you get your podcasts, on YouTube, all that stuff and more. And tomorrow morning, or depending on when you're listening to this, it might be Thursday. You got Boomer and Geo live at Giants camp. You'll have Evan and Tiki live at Giants camp. Midday show, though, with BT and Sal, we'll be live in studio tracking every single trade rumor possible, and also in studio. If you're a WWE fan, it's going to be awesome. Cody Rhodes will be there, so check that out as well. Thank you for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily. You guys have a great Thursday. Enjoy it, and let's hope for the best for the trade deadline. We'll talk more. See ya.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?